You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself.
Yeah.
Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission, to our ancestors whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa, our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everybody is well today. After all, it is, exactly, the day before Kwanzaa. That's right, the day before Kwanzaa starts, and that day is Xmas. It's Christmas, family, and you know it, and I know it. It's Christmas. It is the biggest commercial holiday in the world. And I know people saying the reason for the season, and I definitely tried to explain to you that it can't be the reason for the season, because that's not even real. But we're going to talk about that later. You know, we're going to talk about a number of things today. See, it is a beautiful day. And we're going to start it off as we usually do, you know, with our announcements and so forth. So we appreciate you listening. And you know, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world if you cannot listen to this program live. That's right, brothers and sisters. You can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. And at the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, once again, this program, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad Ahmed. Followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Maria Cambon and her sister, her daughter, Nataki Cambon. That is followed by Conversations, Reparations from 9 to 10 with Brother Jamoke, Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. And on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, oh, yes, right, brothers and sisters, that's today. It's Time for an Awakening. I'm not sure if LA's going to have a program or not, live, rather. I mean, Time for an Awakening will come on tonight, so give a listen. On Saturdays, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then hour later, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sundays, from 7 p.m. until it's again, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Sunday at 7 p.m. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's right, 215-490-9832. Let me try to get through this quickly because there's like a lot of stuff today I want to go over because there's a number of announcements, Kwanzaa presentations that are happening that at least I can try to, you know, because they're virtual, you can participate wherever you are, wherever you are, you can participate in these Kwanzaa programs because they're virtual. And so I'm saying that, you should do that. You should do that. We Buy Black, of course, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, the largest
online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahemba, he is gone, y'all. That's right, Brother Bomani is in Ghana. He is in Ghana. He's got it until the 5th. And when he comes back, he's going to Senegal April 2nd to the 12th. After that, he's going back to Ghana on May 24th to the 4th. And then he's going to Tanzania, which is November 18th to the 29th, which I hope to be a part of that tour, going to Tanzania. But of course, brothers and sisters, if you want to see photos, and believe me, there's a number of them, on Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of his last tour to Tanzania, please go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. You'll see those photos. You'll see where they've stayed, the things that they've done. And I'm quite sure you'll be impressed and you'll probably want to go next time. Yes. Brother Renoko Rashidi, my good friend, and Brother Renoko, his trip, because of the pandemic, was canceled. Or rescheduled, and it is October 5th through the 16th, going to Uganda and Rwanda. It's for $4,200. He's also going to Kemet, August 1st through the 14th, going to Kemet. So check out Baba Renoko. Give him a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663. Go to his website, drrenoko.com. DrRenoko.com. Habashah Incorporated.org. The brothers and sisters in Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. The education is paramount. It is the key. Early education of instilling that knowledge of self into our young people so they don't act a god, excuse me, they don't act a damn fool later. Habashah. And, you know, they got the Kashi Project going on in Ghana. They're doing great things here with Habashah Works, which is a urban agriculture, back to our roots, sustainable agriculture and sustainable seeds and golden growers and urban green jobs. Habashah Incorporated.org. The Ledge Group. The Ledge stands for land for the environmental development of group economics, Ledge. They're doing outstanding work in Africa, in many countries. And of course, the main four areas of importance for Ledge is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects. They're in 6 countries. They have over 170 employees and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End. And of course, the West End has it going on. I live in the West End. They have the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Friday, not today, but on Fridays and Saturdays. So more than likely, it will be open tomorrow on the first day of Kwanzaa of Umoja from 1 to 7. It's on Ralph David Abernathy. And of course, right down the street from Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, you know. And so check out the Shrine, the Medu Bookstore. They also have books. They have all kinds of stuff at the Shrine. Everything you want, your Kwanzaa situation, want that to get together. Oh, you ain't got it set up right now, no? Then go to the Shrine. Or you also could go to a number of places. You could go to Kazimde Jamu's Black Dot. You can go to Afrocentrics, which is right down the street on Lee Street there in the West End. So there's no excuse, brothers. You can get that Kwanzaa. You know, you ain't got no candles. You can get some candles. And ain't no problem. You can get the red, black, and green candle, Kwanzaa sit, your whole Kwanzaa setup. So, hey, Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia with fine books, postcards, greeting cards, figurines, T-shirts. You name it, give her a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. And, of course, I mentioned the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. That's right, tomorrow we'll be at the Black Dot and Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. And we will be with Kazimde Ajamu, you know, Brother Ajamu. excuse me, I want to get that to you right now so you can get that information, because the Zoom information is, take this down, the Zoom information is bit.ly/2WHKWZW. I repeat, to get in on the Zoom call tomorrow with me and Baba Baruti, it is bit.ly/2WHKWZY. That is tomorrow on the first day of Kwanzaa. And I'll be talking with Baba Jamu, make sure the program's together. And I'm going to be the MC again, and I'm honored to be such. And so you can check it out. For those who want to come, you can come. And it will be distance, and of course, mask definitely will be worn. You know, but for those who want to see it and be a part of it, you can check it out on on Zoom. All right, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, and we'll talk about that later. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. They had the Thursday night broadcast last night. Us Lifting Us from 9 p.m. to 10. 9 p.m. to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. If you want to give us a call and you have questions, or just to listen, you can do that. Just give a call to listen. Or if you have a question, comment, or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Sister Gabby just sent me a whole bunch of, like, about 20-something pictures. I told you, that sister be on it, man. Well, of course, they're about to go into their fundraising. So they're, getting ready. So Sanjay-Haiti.org. And, of course, that's how you pronounce Haiti, is Haiti. So Sonjay-Aiti.org. Sanjay-Aiti. And you can see what they're doing for yourself. And, of course, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti. And they have an upcoming training, and I'll be announcing that when I get that information. But in their ongoing quest to brothers and sisters to educate our young people and make sure that they understand their importance of being a warrior, Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310, or Cash App or PayPal, Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can make a consistent donation to Ackerman Institute. Also, too, for the books of Baba Baruti, AckermanHouse.com. Go to AckermanHouse.com. And there will be this 20-something or 30-something books that the brother has put together. It's phenomenal. I know. It really is. It's phenomenal. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I wonder if Mama Yah's going to be there. If she's not going to be there tomorrow, and I doubt it, because Baba ain't going to be there. I'm going to make a stop by or give him a call to see if he sent. He's supposed to mail it, but, you know, the mail is, you know, ain't too assuring, you know. And and so I need to just stop by. I don't live far because they live in the West End area. You know, Ackerman House is in the West End area. So I'm going to stop by and pick up. That's right. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, number 2. So I have a whole new number of quotes and narratives by Baba Baruti. And I've enjoyed all of these. Believe me, I have. December 24th. Africa is our center of gravity, our cultural and spiritual mother and father, our beating heart. No matter where we live on the face of this earth, Dr. John Henry Clark. Bearings let individuals know their location. They point to where one has come from and if the same course is kept or altered, where one will, or in all probability, end. Therefore, we respect to being African, to get one's bearing means to achieve a sense of balance in standing up straight, as well as knowing the direction from which one has come, is now facing, and should go. Again, as people intent on being African, correct bearing tells us who we were, explains the mistakes that changed us into what we have become, and point us in the direction which will best move us toward a revolutionary transformation. Knowing our story is the key to locating this empowering, re-Africanizing, nation-building force within us. It means knowing our mistakes, correctives, and accomplishments, especially in relationship to others we have encountered along our journey, and knowing it from our uncontaminated, undiluted center. Knowing our truth gives us empowering bearings based on an African-centered hindsight, our past, insight, our present, and foresight, our future. Affirm, I know where I am and should be. Affirm, I know where I am and where I should be. December 25th. Those with their guts cracked out of them, those with minds so minced, all their remembrance would turn into pain. Leave them alone, the easy side of the road. Leave them alone, the easy side of the road. Do not condemn. Do not pity them. Just let them go. Just let them go. Just kick them to the curb, brothers and sisters, and keep on moving. Yaikwe Arman. Yaikwe Arman. We're about the business of re-Africanization and nation building, not being distracted from our work by those who will not or cannot listen because their hearts and souls belong to the desert. We, warriors of the African way, cannot lose in the confusion of those who do not want to be African under any condition except as spies or overseers for our enemies. If we do, we will find ourselves wasting time with intellectual mercenaries and lost souls who see their primary mission has taken us off our rightful path by creating frustration after frustration after frustration. Menticide like misery loves company. Menticide like misery loves company. Affirm, I'm about the serious business of re-Africanization and nation building. Affirm, I am about the business of serious re-Africanation and nation building. December 26th, the first day of Kwanzaa, Umoja. Our African spirituality cannot be contained or violated and used for Western or European greed and materialism. Anta Jop. Gloria Edwards. It is time we made definitive statements about what Kwanzaa must mean to us if it is to serve us in our fight to be African. We must clearly and uncompromisingly indicate how important this celebration is to those of us who want to demonstrate the utmost respect for our ancestors and uncontaminated African traditions by following their examples. With this choice comes the responsibility of serving African interests first. It requires that we stop celebrating Kwanzaa apologetically. This means we have to put an end to dehumanizing and emphasizing this celebration so that others who have never felt a need to make us comfortable or who are only comfortable when our owners are comfortable, we will not feel that what we create is competition with their religious celebration of Caucasian supremacy. We don't need to explain our celebration to no one in order to realize its existence. I repeat, we don't need to explain our celebration to no one in order to realize its existence. Those in our community who do not want to celebrate anything African except if it comes whitewashed through European approval need not participate. Our stand to revitalize and re-Africanize Kwanzaa calls for us to individually and collectively set examples of humanistic perfection for each other every minute of every day. 24/7, 365. This initiative cannot be used working to turn others into some perfect model that we follow. It must be about us being the best of our ancestors and not cheap imitations of them and what they stood for. Affirm, I live in the spirit of Kwanzaa. Affirm, I live in the spirit of Kwanzaa. Long live the spirit of Kwanzaa. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. A few years ago, Mama Marimba, my dear friend, Marimba Ani, the author of Yorugu, an African-centered critique, a European cultural thought and behavior, a must-read, I consider it the Bible. Brother Osh, that's blasphemous. No, it ain't. I don't even consider the Bible the Bible. You know, I'm going to take calls right away. We have a caller, 215-215. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Oshie. How you doing? It's Brother Joe. How you doing, man?
Oh, man. I'm doing well, Brother Joe. How are you, my brother? How are you today?
I'm surviving, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I'm surviving this wilderness of North America and the United Snakes of America.
That's right.
Too bad. You know, Brother Oshie, I was thinking about you and Brother Ellie and Brother Jan, everybody. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, brother. I just have a sin. I heard black folks love to get up there and tell, say thank you for your service and all this stuff. And look, my dad was in the service. I'm like, not, I mean, no, that, let's say, a shot of the military. You know, I'm not no pro-military, but you understand the dynamic of the situation. We talk about thank you for your service, and yet these white cops, for the most part, some of them been in the military, a lot of them, some of them haven't. But my point, Dr. Brother Oshie, they're killing our people left, and you someone thank you. You thanking them for killing your people here in Columbus, Ohio. Over the last month or so, you had two black men
right.
gunned down by law enforcement, white law enforcement.
Right.
And yet we foolishly get up there and tell them, thank you for your service. I don't know what's wrong with some of us, man. They kill it. I mean, the brother go to the subway, get a sandwich. He gets gunned down on his own steps by this white sheriff. Then you had the brother just in Columbus, Ohio, just this past week get gunned down and stuff, man, in the garage. I mean, this stuff just keep happening over and over again, man. You know, this is after the George Floyd murder, the Breonna Taylor. I mean, these white cops, whether police officers, state troopers, FBI, no matter what form of law enforcement, bro, they just keep killing our people, man. The madness just never stops, man. Now, you know, the instance, Brother Oshie, where white boys have confronted the police with weapons, and they'll do everything they can not to shoot them down. White boy, see, I'm not giving my weapon. Now, the one white cop shot the white boy, but he only shot him fatally after the white boy reached for the weapon. But along the white boy was talking smacks, had his hand, he didn't do it. But some of the white boy reached for the gun, then he shot him.
Right.
But there's been other instances, Brother Oshie, where they showed the thing where the white boy drove off, tried to shoot the cop. I think it was in Florida or whatever like that. I mean, they show all kinds of restraint not to kill their own people.
Right.
And you know, Brother Oshie, and to you and the listeners, I remember it was a case a few years ago up here in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, outside of Philly, and King of Prussia, PA, with his Muslim sister. She was from North Philadelphia. She went up there, and I'm not judging the sister because she might have been in hard times or whatever, but she made a foolish decision. She went up to King of Prussia, and she was shoplifting. Now, she didn't kill nobody. She just grabbed some items out, and she got back in her SUV and was trying to drive back to Philadelphia. The police officer up there told her to stop, the King of Prussia officer. She didn't stop. She drove off. This devil stood right behind the sister, about 10 feet from her car, and fired 3 or 4 bullets in the back of the windshield, but Ocean shot this sister in the head. She was a sister and left back 2 or 3 kids. Now, she wasn't trying to harm her. She was trying to get back on the road to get back to Philly. This devil had the nerve to sit there and say he was in fear for his life. Devil, how you in fear for your life when it's just a driving away?
Yeah.
But I'm going to contrast that to that same county, Montgomery County. A year before that, Bella, she was a white girl. She tried to run the police over and stuff. They shot her in her tires. I understand me, Bella. She tried to run these cops over, and yet they shot out her tires. But yet this sister who was trying to get away, you shoot her in the back of the head, you know? Yeah. I mean,
Brother Joe, I don't know how much more proof we have to tell us that this society has never and will never have our interests at heart. They have always tried to demean us, degrade us, denigrate us. They have always tried to put us under, and everything that they do is a part of a genocidal process, a mental genocidal process and a physical genocidal process that they're engaging in. And one of the things, Brother Joe and our listeners, is that when we look at our birth rate, even though we have a young population, we are experiencing zero population growth here in America. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to be damn near 17% of this country's population at a high. We're under 13% now. What does that mean? Because when you have mass incarceration, homosexuality, mm-hmm. Brothers who are going with Caucasians or Asians, who everybody but a sister, you know, you have drug addiction, substance abuse. You have brothers who just plain ain't about a damn thing. So those mm-hmm. factors, the sisters, particularly here in Atlanta, and I'm quite sure it's that way in Philly, is that sisters mm-hmm. have prepared themselves, they're educated, they got a nice job. Well, of course that, because in this system, the greatest threat, who runs the system? Caucasian men, white men. And who is the greatest threat to white men? Black men. So sisters got jobs, sisters got positions, and the sisters ask the question, where are the men? Not that they don't see them, but they're saying, where is somebody, my mate? So you have sisters, and of course, they promote that on television consistently. You see, I've never seen in the last 2 years more interracial couples, particularly sisters with Caucasian men, in commercials mm-hmm. because they're pushing and promoting that. And for sisters, they don't understand that when they consistently view that in their subconscious, you know, it makes it okay. It's okay, you know. It's mm-hmm. okay if I get the Caucasian. You know, after all, it is his, and so I'll be protecting off. You know, that's the kind of situation that we're up against as African people. And so when you see these deaths, and they'll continue to happen.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, because they've been happening.
Even under the Biden administration, it's going to continue to happen.
Sure.
It's not going to change that. And our people think of this false narrative, something going to change. Because first of all, he ain't going to do a damn thing to try to alleviate it. Because matter of fact, he already done said in that little clip when he talked down to these Negroes on that.
I heard that.
Shopping.
Yeah, I heard that.
So he already let you know where he coming from with the police. So if any of our people think that things going to miraculously change under his administration, you're only deluding yourself. See, the only difference between him and Trump, like Brother Elliot always says, that he won't be doing the childish name calling, juvenile behavior that Trump. He's gonna be the same old devil that Trump is. No, there's gonna be no difference.
No, it's not. And yet, you know, we constantly hold out hope and belief that somehow the next person that we help put into office, particularly from a Democratic party, will be somebody who will be fair and be kind and be, you know, stop it. It's not going to happen. It hasn't happened, and it ain't going to happen. And yet, you know, we're constantly praying and hoping and wishing that it does happen, and as opposed to embracing our African selves and believing in each other. I mean, you know, it's sad. But my contention is, Brother Joe, is that we make a claim, or we put down the gauntlet. Either you're going to be with us, or you're not. Either you're in, or you're out. And that's what we must do. That's what we must do. Either you in with us, as African thinking brothers and sisters across this land, regardless of whatever theology you have, political mm-hmm. philosophy you may have, financial situation you may have, because as Malcolm said, they don't do to us what they do to us because we're Seventh-day Adventists or Black people of Israelites or Muslims or Christians, or we AKA or Mega Sci-Fi. They do to us what they do to us because we African, and they do it around the damn world.
When them devils shot Amadou Diallo from mm-hmm. Europe back in 99,
they
didn't know he was from Africa. All they saw was his black skin, you know?
Right.
I mean, and we need to be clear on that. And that's why I don't know. See, I'm a Muslim, but I never make that my reference point. That's my own, like Malcolm says, my religion. That's my private thing when I go pray to my God. But I don't throw that in black people's face like I'm some kind of, because it's nothing but my own personal thing.
Right.
What I'm doing with our people, Brother Osh, I deal with our people from an African-centric standpoint, you know?
I always get that from you, Brother Joe. I always get that from you when I hear you, particularly.
Having a new baby.
You know.
Well, Brother Oshie, I'm hang the hold on. You got your lines busy, Brother Oshie. I'm going to definitely let you go, Brother Oshie, and get the other calls. But keep them on hold, Brother Oshie.
I sure will. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, brother. I love you, Brother Oshie.
You too. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Joe. Listen, I'm going to keep you on hold. You got something else. You know how to get off hold and join the conversation, all right?
Thank you, Brother Oshie. I definitely will. Thanks, my brother.
All right, peace. Good brother. I know I don't get a chance but Brother Joe calls in, you know, because during the day. But he's on it in the evenings, brother. He's on it, and I love what he brings. I love his spirit. You know, just as he said, you know, Malcolm said, when we come to the table to deal with the issues affecting our people, I'm not coming espousing El Islam. That's my religious philosophy, because I know if I come there, there's going to be some issues with those who are Christians or those who are Black Hebrew Israelites or those who are more science or whatever. There are going to be issues because we don't catch hell because we are any of those. We catch hell because we are African. And let's come together at that table and deal with the issues that are affecting our people so we all can begin to live and love freely in. And it ain't happening here. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. It is not happening here. This is theirs. When Donald Trump won, all those right-wing racist organizations, man, they were hail victory, hail Trump, hail victory. Because why? They understood that this is ours. We took this for our prosperity. We took this for our lineage. This ain't no damn multicultural experiment. We don't give a damn about, no. We took this. And we made Africans work for nothing. And we destroyed their minds. We made Africans hate themselves to this day. This is ours. The Africans that so hate themselves, so yeah, we'll let them in, but because they know where they belong. Men and women, they know where they belong. And they allow us, they don't allow us. They support us, that's a better word. They support us in running this. Man, that's why to me, the Kwanzaa celebration is a key. It is key to African liberation. The seven principles. And I must apologize about Wednesday when I couldn't think of that fifth principle, you know. Yeah. But let me go with the seven principles of Kwanzaa as an African sovereigntist, because you know on this program we promote independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Our motto on this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die, bottom line. And so Mama Marimba put together a African sovereigntist interpretation of the Nguza Saba. And this is the African self-government that was mandated by our ancestors, our sacred and common source of being. Umoja, unity, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and constructing an African world order. That's the unity that we must have as African people. The Pan-African Federalist Movement, all of the Pan-African organizations must come together to establish, work together. When we had back in October, the Pan-African Fellows Council is beautiful, many participants, but there were others. There shouldn't be only one. And I'm not saying the Pan-African Fellows Movement should be that. No, it should be a collective. It should be a collective. We should begin to speak with one voice. That is the unity that is necessary. Kujichagulia, self-determination. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign people. Self-determination, to be sovereign. That nobody outside of us says a damn thing about who we are, what we do, and how we do it. Nobody. That's why I'm saying we cannot do it here. You cannot establish sovereignty. Hell, Caucasians can't be sovereign here. There have been some Caucasian groups that tried to that took compounds back in Washington and so forth. They can't do it. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. That we understand that we are in this together. We work together. We support each other. Collective work and responsibility, and we are accountable to one another. Ujamaa, familyhood. Creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and community, national, and global African unity. Once again, community, national, and global African unity. Familyhood, family-centered. When I talk about us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, family-centered economics. NIA, purpose. African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and guide our choices and decisions. This gives us sacred purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we have chosen to be African. Our purpose. And we must understand our purpose to each other and to the building of sovereign Africa. And that's why it is important that we establish schools at an early age for our children to lay the solid foundation that is so desperately needed. So they understand their purpose. They understand why the education they're receiving is so much different than what they were going to, that they would receive in a public school system or a private school system or a choice or charter school. No, these must be independent African-centered schools. Kumba, creativity, to think with African minds, to create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We find and return to our own way, the way of our ancestors. You know, when I said that, right, popped into my mind, that T-shirt, because of what has gone on. And I don't know, I hate that, you know, we are not our ancestors, basically telling to the Caucasians that, you know, you can't intimidate us, you just can't lynch us and beat us down. We're not our ancestors, we're going to fight. Well, you know, the opportunity has always been there. The bottom line is our ancestors were courageous too. A lot of times that we succumb or acquiesce because, you know, let's live to fight another day. Some of the things that we had to take, but there's no doubt about it. We have always been under a reign of damn terror. Yes, I understand there's some of us who will never experience, at least in their perception, a moment or a day of racism, of Caucasians treating them badly. And they live with Caucasians because maybe they got out and they were in the suburbs or in a subdivision or whatever, and they lived amongst the Caucasians for decades. They were raised that way. Now they might have a Caucasian wife and they're still believing in this system and believing that you too can be a part of it. No. So we must use our creativity as African people to rebuild ourselves, to re-Africanize ourselves, to move on and to stay on the path to sovereignty. Imani, faith, to believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will, the heart, to bring it into being. That's why I put so much when I say the Bibi Fahodiye at the end of the program. You can accomplish what you will. Marcus Garvey said, up you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will. It is the will. Do we have the will? That's why I'm saying, and what I said to Brother Joe, is that we must begin to make a distinction of those who are in and those who are out, because we need brothers and sisters who are going to be in. And if you're going to be in, that means that you have the will to make it a reality for us as African people. You have the will. Boy, boy, boy. Yeah, let me talk about some Kwanzaa things that are happening. Let me go through that, and because I'm still going to talk about, you know, Christmas, what it is and, you know, what it ain't, because I know that, you know, I did touch on it, I think Monday, when I talked about, you know, the fact that there have been so many other saviors, so to speak, who are born at this time of year. I don't call it December 25th because even the calendar is off. The calendar is off because of Julius Caesar. December is in the Latin is D is dec, is 10, but December is the 12th month. Because why? Because of Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar putting in a month for himself with 31 days, and Augustus saying, this dude got a month and 31 days. Bum him. I could have me a month with 31 days. So he put in August, Augustus Caesar, August. So you got July and August, both with 31 days. Well, where are you going to get them from? Well, of course, they took them from February to keep the calendar. And, of course, the calendar, this is the year 2020, or till in a few days, 2021. But this, there are calendars that are older. And the oldest calendar, of course, is the Comedic calendar, based on 365 days. It is the year 6,200. Well, you know what? I've kind of miscalculated. I think it's 6,260, I believe. Maybe somebody can help me out or give a call. If you got the Comedic calendar number, I don't have it available, but I know. I know it ain't the year 2000. I know that. Or 2020 or 21. I know that. I know there are other calendars that have been in existence. Well, of course, not the Muslim calendar, because the Muslim calendar comes after Christianity, you know. But there are some Kwanzaa events that are happening. My good friend, Brother Lusk, sent me a Kwanzaa event that is happening in Tuskegee, Alabama. And it is... The Nature's Garden Sister Circle, the Nature Garden Sister Circle Collective, will host a virtual community Kwanzaa. And that is this year, beginning tomorrow and ending on the 31st. I don't have all of the information, but it's a Zoom. So I'm going to give this number out. You know, you go to Zoom on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, go to Zoom. And then when it says the ID, you put in 816-1746-3500. That's 816-1746-3500. The passcode is E3ZSKE2. That's the letters are in caps. I don't know if you have to have the letters in caps, but it's the letter E, the number 3, the letter Z, the letter S, the letter K, the letter E, and then the number 2. And that will get you in. And of course, the program starts, and that's 7 Central. Of course, Alabama is on Central Time. This is Tuskegee, Alabama. It is on Central Time for 7 p.m. Central to 8:30 p.m. nightly, beginning tomorrow. Kwanzaa celebration. Okay. Of course, I mentioned, and I'm going to mention it again right now, Brother Gazimde Ajamu's Kwanzaa that we have going on, and that's going to be at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. That's right. You know, Ajamu. And that's going to be me and Baba Baruti. Also, too, he has, if you go to Zoom to join the Zoom meeting, put in Zoom, and you put in this code, 839-1530-3841. 239-1530-3841. And the passcode is 740271. The passcode is 740271. 740-2071. Okay? And that's for tomorrow. I mentioned another passcode that he has on the flyer. And I'll mention that again right now. And that is to join Black Dot via Zoom. bit.ly/2whkwzy The number 2, the letter W, the letter H, the letter K, the letter W, Z, W. Sister Akina called. I was going to talk to her and thank her, Sister Akina. Sister Akina is a beautiful sister with a beautiful spirit. And I'm going to thank her for being on the program talking about Mama Akina. And I want to apologize to Mama Nabantu, who knew Mama Akina. You know, I want to apologize to her and apologize to another sister who knew Mama Akina, too. They're from the, they live here in Atlanta now, but they were from the Bay Area. So I want to do that. And here's another program. Brother Mickey Dean from the, Brother Mickey Dean is with, of course, the National Black United Front, Kansas City chapter. And you know, if you don't know, man, I love them. I love the Kansas City chapter of the National Black United Front. And their program is starting tomorrow through the 1st. The National Black United Front presents a national virtual celebration of Kwanzaa 2020. And the program is 7 p.m. Central. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. There's vending opportunities because it's all virtual and live. For more information, you can contact, you can use the phone number at 816-866-3025. That's 816-866-3025. Now, to get onto the Zoom, the letters, they have them in caps. TWITCH.TV/NBUFKC. NBUFKC. That's TWITCH.TV/NBUFKC. And they have an outstanding presentation, good information. You know, each day they're having something different to celebrate and, people who are part of the people, and not just in the Kansas City area, but other places. So they have a lot of good entertainment for each day and so forth. So it's going to be outstanding. And once again, to contact them, it is 816-866-3025. And then the number, once again, well, here they have it in the event is in lowercase, but TWITCH.TV/MBUFKC. TWITCH.TV/MBUFKC. Oh, man, we came up on the side of our time. So let me go into this. Let me go ahead and play some break here. And when we come back from the break, we'll have other issues we're going to deal with. And so I know tomorrow we've played Kwanzaa all week. So let us check out what tomorrow is on Kwanzaa. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and Black Talk Radio Network.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Umoja is the message, a call for unity. for unity.
To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Oh, man. Kwame and Shavinduka out of Chicago, The Seven Principles. That's beautiful. You can go to YouTube, because I'm not sure, you know, I should be quite sure that you should be able to pick that up if you so desire to do so through Amazon and something like that. I don't know. Just put Seven Principles in on YouTube and you will get the beautiful music of the Seven Principles of Kwanzaa, and I'll be playing them. So I got to sneak in Kujichagulia on Monday for Sunday, and of course Ujima on Monday and through the rest of the weeks. But you know, when we mentioned in the NHSASIM that we need to look at Kwanzaa, and that's how I've looked at Kwanzaa, as a liberation tool for our people, not just as a celebration, but putting the seven principles into our daily lives, you know. And I mentioned the other day how we could do that. And, of course, I messed it up somewhere because I forgot. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I'm getting up to that particular point. I need to start taking something so I can keep my mind sharp and remember all these things. If I'm on radio and I'm going to say something, a lot of times, unfortunately, I don't write it down because I've known it. And I feel I've always known it, and I can retrieve it in my memory. And now sometimes I can't because I'm getting older, and that's what happens. And so you got to keep your memory sharp. And so I'm going to be looking at ways to do that. I know Brother Kwaku sent me some information of how to do that with some foods and some other things that you can help keep your memory sharp. Because, I mean, I couldn't think of conviction. You know, I wound up saying commitment. So, you know, but let me do it again right quick and to say to us, this is how we can put those seven principles into our daily lives and transform ourselves, because I mentioned the number 13, and understand something as we go through this process. The number 13 is not an evil number. Of course, they wanted us to believe that with Friday the 13th, no 13th office. No 13th floor in some office buildings, no 13th row in some hotel buildings, no 13th floor in some hotel buildings, excuse me, no 13th row in some airlines, because they wanted to believe that the number 13 is a bad number, a bad luck number. But yet, the Europeans established 13 colonies. Why did they establish 13 colonies? Because they wanted to do here what we as African people had done there in the Nile Valley thousands of years ago. That's why the city of Memphis is on the Mississippi River. That's why they used to play before FedEx, because of FedEx's huge money. They used to play at a pyramid. They used to play at a pyramid. And you know what? When I went to Memphis, me and Brother Kwaku last year, that pyramid is a... the brothers and sisters, I mean, I know the amount of money, but it's one of those outdoor places, you know? I don't know if it's Cabela's or, you know, or something like that. It's one of those places. I ain't kidding. Damn. Anyway, so, you know,
They wanted, they co-opted everything that we have and claim it as their own. And so the number 13, they understood that there's 12 signs in the zodiac plus 13. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about after this, because that this whole Jesus thing is astrological. It is not physical. It is not historical. There's 12 signs in the zodiac plus the sun, 13. Jesus, okay, had 12 disciples plus Jesus, 13. King Arthur had 12 mythical knights at his round tables plus him, King, 13. 12 jurors on a trial plus the judge, 13. So you can see this number 13 is not an evil or bad number. It is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. So then how can we put this number 13 in our lives to transform ourselves, to be the kind of people that we must be to get us up out of this muck and mire that we are drowning in? First, the principles of Kwanzaa. These principles in the Nguza Saba that have been given to us should be instilled in our everyday lives. Umoja, unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kumba, creativity. And Imani, faith. You have those seven. Add to the seven the five C's. The first C is consciousness. I have committed and dedicated my life to trying to raise the consciousness of our people. I will do it till I expire. It is my contribution to re-Africanize us, to be able to, for us to understand that we are African people that must be step back on the stage and control our minds, control our land, control our resources, control the education of our people. Everything must be under our control. Consciousness. Consciousness is more than just awareness. It is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are historically. Consciousness. The second C, because you have consciousness, you have courage. You feel good about yourself. You have courage. The third C is confidence. You ain't got ego. You ain't tripping. You ain't thinking you all that, but you have confidence. You know you can get the job. You know you can pass the test. You know you can get the promotion. You know you can help lead our people because you have confidence and you exude that confidence. The fourth C is conscience. Knowing what is morally right and wrong and doing what's right. Doing what's right when people are not looking. Standing on integrity. Being a man of your word, a woman of your word. And then the fifth C, conviction. No matter what roadblock or detour or pitfall is in your path, you will overcome them because you have conviction. You wanted to be a firefighter. You wanted to be a doctor. You want to be a nurse, an engineer, whatever it was. And even though there are some things that happen along the way, but you overcame them and you realize at the end of that journey, you realize your dream. You realize, you visualize it and you realize your dream because you have conviction. So now, 7 plus 5 is 12, plus you is 13. Instill it into our everyday lives is 13. Now, you know, this situation, I mentioned this, I believe, on Monday's program, that it is astrological, it is not historical. There have been many so-called saviors who were mythologically presented long before Jesus the Christ. And these mythological saviors, because of this time, I don't know what they wanted to call it, but at this time of the year when the earth, because the earth rotates and tilts on an axis, it is not consistently one way. And if, in fact, if it was that way, it would be very hard to to have seasonal things, and it's very hard for other people in other parts of the world and animals in other parts of the world and live and living things to exist. So because of how the earth goes back and forth on its axis and tilts, you have death and resurrection. You have death. It's a good point. Birth and rebirth. That's what you have. So at this time of the year in the northern hemisphere, the earth tilts furthest away from the sun on December, what is called now December 21st. Damn, whatever you call it. But it happens around that time. And so other mythological saviors were supposedly born at that time of a virgin. So all of these things are prior to Christianity. That's what I'm saying. The problem I've always had with Christianity and this Jesus particular piece is that it is not historical. It is borrowed from other mythologies. But yet they say what we have is historical. It is a fact. But it is not. And so the other ones were born on this day of a virgin because on the 21st, the winter solstice, that begins the shortest day. And so 3 days after that, he died and rose 3 days later. And so 3 days after that, December 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, on the 25th, today, the sun now, the S-U-N, begins to rise further and further and further until the equinox and then until the summer solstice. The equinox in March and the summer solstice in June. It is astrological. It is not historical. It is not. All of the things that people say and claim, none of it is backed up by history. All the things that are in the Bible, all the things that the Hebrews talk about of Moses, all these things are not true. There is no record. They debated this about 20-some years ago. Is the Exodus real? Did it really happen? Were there Hebrews in captivity by the Kemetic people? No. No. So these stories, these mythologies, these allegories, they become real when somebody has the power to say that they are real and impose them. And I know, I've known some very religious people, my grandfather, love him and rest his soul. He was in the sanctified church, Bishop Mason. And of course, they're most staunchly, you know. But there are other sects, Christian sects, that are equally as staunch, you know. Not the Baptists, you know, or probably Episcopalian and Methodists and Lutherans and many other denominations of Christianity. But the reality is, you know, I know today on the news they show Bethlehem, and of course, coronavirus has affected the planet, where a lot of things that people would attend, you know, particularly if you're a Christian at this time of year, that you would not do it. I'm quite sure for Christians that pilgrimage to Bethlehem on December 24th and then coming into the day, it's 25th, and it's a big thing for them. I understand that, you know. I don't support it. I don't say that it is real, but to me, I look at it this way, dear brothers and sisters. I don't know how you look at it, but you can give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 and let me know how you think about it, what you think about it. But, you know, when something is imposed upon you and you're made to believe it, even though in your right mind, you know this is not true, but because you've been made to believe it so strongly that, you know, that it basically paralyzes you. You become catatonic in your thinking. You're paralyzed. You don't move, and you follow suit. You go along. You go along to get along. Honestly, I don't want to challenge nobody in what they believe. The problem, of course, has been is that you have two serious proselytizing. That means they seek converts. They go out and they seek converts. There's a number of religions that do that. I know, remember the Hare Krishnas, the Krishna. And of course, Krishna can make the same claim of being born at this time of a virgin and the 12 disciples, all of the whole nine yards. And a Krishna comes before Christ. Okay? In fact, Christ is Jesus, the Christ, comes towards the end of those saviors, you know. They come towards the end. And, of course, all of it is based on ancient Kemet and the mythology of ancient Kemet, you know, of being dead and rising and so forth, sacrificed. So, but the bottom line is that because how they have imposed this, you are afraid to challenge it. They put fear into you in challenging it. In a discussion in Milwaukee with a brother who was working with, hope he loses his job real soon, Senator Ron Johnson. And I guess if you're working for Senator Ron Johnson, a staunch Republican and a Negro that he is, you know. So we're going around and around. And and once again, I'm not going to convince you, but what I stated to him towards the end of our conversation is that I understand what you're saying, because to you as a Christian, and you're trained, that you rather believe and it not be true than to not believe and it be true. So I'm not going to believe. I'm going to have faith, and that's all I got. I don't have any other knowledge, but that's this faith of what has been presented to me, what I have read in the Bible, and any other Christian who comes to me with this information. You see? Because it is not, brothers and sisters, historical. I know. Some of us believe in miracles. Some of us believe that somebody was about to die. We prayed for them and they lived. Well, the other people who are about to die, y'all prayed for them and they didn't live. And the argument or the rationale has been, well, his faith wasn't strong enough. You know, he didn't have enough strong enough faith. Because, I mean, you've been seeing as well as I have, because I watch the news. I have to watch the news to keep up with what I'm going to present to you from what's going on. And I've seen people who are on respirators. And of course, when you're on a respirator, that means that you basically are not breathing for yourself. That's what it means. You are not breathing for yourself. If I take you off the respirator, you will die because you are not breathing for yourself. In fact, some of them induce coma to put you on a respirator. They induce a coma. Number one, they can't stick that tube down into your lungs if you're conscious, okay? So they put you in a coma, and they stick that tube down your throat through your esophagus into your lungs, and they breathe for you. They breathe for you. And so some people, through therapies and medications, they come out of it. Some have been on respirators for weeks, if not months. I know you probably have seen it. Somebody comes out of it. And some are old, as well as some who have some youth. Some of the people, there was one lady, she was like 70-some years old. And usually you see them being wheeled to a line of people who are clapping and so forth, saying you've been on. This woman walked. She walked. You know? So these things happen. Is it a miracle? I don't, you know, if you want to claim it, that it's a miracle because she lived and others didn't for whatever reason, we don't know. If you want to claim it as a miracle, that's cool.
I know that many of us say to pray together. If a lot of us come together and pray, I know they've always had these national days of prayer. I remember seeing stadiums full of people, all of them praying and so forth. And the reality of it is the conditions, and because I don't look at the overall conditions for Europeans. I don't. I look at the conditions for Africans globally, on the continent, in the diaspora, particularly here because I live here, not just here in Atlanta, but in the United States. Not good. Continuing to deteriorate. I did a program about a month or so ago that we are no better off today than we were 50 years ago with statistical information that we are not better off today than we were 50 years ago. But yet we keep holding out hope and we believing that this new administration, because they have an American African as vice president who is a heartbeat away from the presidency. She is a heartbeat away from the presidency. And I know that can scare a lot of Caucasians. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks as this election comes up. And I know, I don't know about you, I get all kinds of emails, you know. And I know there's still talk of Donald Trump having a hold card. He has some kind of information that's going to be a bombshell about this election, you know, whereby they will not be able to have the inauguration. That's what they're saying. I don't give a damn. I don't care. And I know that in order for Biden to do what he wants to do, he needs Raphael Warnock, who's running for senator, and John Ossoff, who's running for senator, against two staunch Trump supporters. And to me, if your ass is a staunch Trump supporter, you don't deserve no damn votes. But of course, they're going to get them, and particularly here in Georgia. And it's going to be interesting to see if they deliver Warnock and Ossoff to the Senate, thereby Mitch McConnell's ugly touche turtle looking ass will not be the majority in the Senate, along with punk ass Lindsey Graham and all those other supporting all those other men and women who supported Trump in the House and in the Senate. From that alone, I hope they do win. Am I voting? No. I was going to vote. And of course, I've never voted for a Caucasian in my life, you know, on a political level, you know. And so everybody said, nah, man, you better not vote. You don't vote ordinarily. So, nah. Well, I voted for Barack the first time. I gave money to him. I seen what was happening, you know. And truly, there's so many devastating things that happened with that cat, man. It's ridiculous. One of them, you know, of course, my main one is Muammar Gaddafi. The blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on his hands, along with Hillary Clinton. But another one was even the Flint. They don't have no damn clean water today in Flint. They still don't have clean water today in Flint. And it happened during his administration. And he came there and he drank water, trying to say that the shit was good. Many people, if you look at what you call it, it's got Fahrenheit 11.9. I think that's what it's called. You know, Roger. And this one deals with the election of Trump and the things that preceded. And one of the things was the water crises in Flint, Michigan. You know, Michael Moore. And of course, he's a staunch person from Michigan. Is one of his first documentaries, Roger and Me, Bowling for Columbine, Fahrenheit 9/11. you know, dealing with that. I mean, he's had some very thought-provoking documentaries, this notwithstanding. And he talked about Barack coming to Flint and many people thinking that he's coming to Flint to say, I'm going to bring the Army Corps of Engineers, other private contractors and so forth, and we're going to lay the pipes. We're going to do all the work to change this dynamic. That didn't happen. They still don't have clean water today. You know? Yeah. I want to do this. I'm not going to take a break, but I want to play this, you know, because this is Christmas. Christmas. Please come home. There's songs. Now, you know, if you have a song that moves you for the Christmas holiday, and we all do, let's be real. You know, we don't all come up staunchly hating Christmas. Hell no. I mean, there's always been some of us, particularly those of various religions who do not practice, like Seventh-day Adventists, like Jehovah's Witness, you know. I'm not sure about the Mormons. I don't know, you know. But for those of us who have come up, you know, there's been numerous songs, and there's a lot more now. I didn't know that Mariah Carey's song was the number one song for the last few years of Christmas. All I Want for Christmas Is You. You know, but I look at the our songs, and of course Mariah Carey, you know, she is us, you know, and so, you know, there's been some great songs of Donny Hathaway this Christmas. I think it's just and that's 50 years old now. Feliz Navidad, Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad, which means Merry Christmas in Spanish. Also 50 years old. Those two songs are 50 years old. 50 years old. Feliz Navidad and This Christmas. And obviously two good songs because many people love Feliz Navidad. I remember when I was working with a group of brothers and sisters in this program and along with indigenous people, Native Americans, as well as Spanish and so forth, we would go to various parts of the country and talk about public policy and how to affect it and so forth. It was done through the University of Wisconsin Extensions. And it was a beautiful program. I didn't go to Africa with them. I couldn't afford it. So it was a situation happening to me at the time. And I still regret it, and I will always. But there that is. But I went to a lot of other places, went to Mexico. And that was at the time of the holidays. And so I got just a constant dose of Feliz Navidad. But, you know, that's a good song. You know, there's been so many. And, of course, How We Do It, Merry Christmas, Baby, and all that, you know. And you know, the Temptations, Silent Night, just a beautiful song. You know, Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song has been one of my favorites. I used to sing that to my my daughters when they were little. I would sing that. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. Folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey. Well, anyway. But you know, so there's some beautiful songs and it brings great memories and you reminisce and you think about the things of the past because it is a situation that you can remember. I can remember as a little boy, you know, Christmases of that time as a little boy. I'm talking about 4 or 5 years old. And then, of course, more contemporary. I remember the Christmas of 63 when Kennedy was killed in November 22nd, that's 63. And that Christmas, because my mother was pregnant. And she had my sister in December. I remember that one. And many others. Many others. I'll always remember I didn't get them damn Paladin guns I wanted either. I'll tell you that right now. I wanted them Paladin guns. And when I saw that they weren't there, I was, man, yeah, well, that's how that goes. So you don't always get what you want. You can tell Santa all the hell you want. You don't always get it. I remember me and my brother going into Schuster's. Schuster's is just like Gimbel's. Schuster's, Gimbel's, Macy's, all, you know, going into Schuster's in Milwaukee on 12th and Valete, riding the escalator to buy my mother a present. And we were both about, I don't know, I think he was like about 8. I think I might have been about 6. He's 2 years older than me. But there's one song that I really enjoy, and, you know, there's songs that you, you know, that you want to hear. And then, and when you hear them, you that lets you know it's Christmas, you know, to Temptations, you know, Donnie Hathaway. And there's a few others. But this is one that I started to enjoy, and it's a fun one. It's a fun one. So let's play this.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the
Hold it now, wait, hold it. That's played out. Hit it!
Don't you give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, chop, rock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rapping about to happen like a knee. You were slapping or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suited dude with a friendly attitude and a slave full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe looks kind of weird. And if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying. Here. Well, the hawk was out, those on the ground, folks stayed in, 2:40 down, the beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks, and the drummer played at a solid pace, and the taste of the bass was in my face, and the guitar player laid down a heavy layer of the funky chunky rhythm of the disco key. And the guy with the 88 started to participate, and I can sure appreciate it sound so sweet. We were all in the mood, so we had a little food and a joke and a smoke and a little bit of wine. When I thought I heard a hoop on the top of the roof, could it be it wasn't me? I was feeling super fine, so I went to the attic where I thought I heard the static on the chance that the fans put somebody breaking in. Put the noise on the top with a reindeer pop, just a trick, Saint Nick, and I let the sucker in. Holy moly, you got a lot of wishes on your chinny chin chin. He allowed, he was proud of the hairy little crowd on the point of the door where the skin should have been. Gets cool for a fool, going out every year for a day on the sleigh when the cold winds blow. Through the beard may be weird, but I'll never have a cheer, cause it's warm in the fall when it's in below. I said, yo, God, it's cold tonight, but can you stop for a drop before you go? He said, why not? If the music's hot and I'll chance to dance beneath the mistletoe. So he went downstairs and forgot his scares, and he rocked his spot and danced like a pro. And every young girl tried to rock his world, but he booked the yogi yogi till he had to go. And before he went, this fine old gent bought a gift with a slip through his big red bag. In the top or the bottom, he reached in and got a toy for the boy for the girl's glad rag. And a grown-up got some presents too, a new TV and a stereo. A new Seville by the bluest sky, the best that money couldn't buy. Cause money could never ever buy the feeling, the one that comes from not concealing the way you feel about your friends. And this is how the story ends. The dude in red back at the pole of North, where everything is cold. But if he were right here tonight, he'd say, Merry Christmas, and to all, a good night. I see that it's not clear for you good buddies to clean out your ears. Isn't very close while I pop more game, cause my name's in the Hall of Fame. The K-U-R, the T-I-S, the first is the best, I must confess. The B-L-O and the W, I'll make you
If your name is Steve, you don't need a C, cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I'm on the go. I'm rocking to the rhythms in stereo. Now just fold your hands in the air and raise one like you just don't care. If you're ready like Freddy to rock, Will Steady, somebody say, oh yeah. Oh, young ladies, all the ladies in the house say, ow. And you don't stop. Come on, come on, come on. Let me see you rock. I get down. Stop messing around when Curtis Blow is in your town. I'm Curtis Blow on the microphone. A place called Harlem was my home. I was rocking one day. It started to shake. It sounded to me like an earthquake. I packed my bag. I said goodbye. I kissed my woman and I started to fly. I came to Earth by a meteorite to rock you all. Just kick on your shoes, let your fingers pop. The Curtis Blow is about ready to rock. Now the people in the back, if you're not the wax, say. The people in the front, if you want to bump, say. The people in the middle, if you want to wiggle, say. And the people on the side, if you want to slide, say. Not a preacher or a teacher or an electrician. A fighter or a writer or a politician. The man with the key to your ignition. Curtis Blow is competition, young ladies. Shock the house, jazzy young ladies. Shock the house. Now just throw your hands in the air and wave it like you just don't care. If y'all really ready to rock the house this morning, somebody say, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Somebody scream. Oh, young ladies, Mercedes. All the ladies in the house say,
Curtis Blow is in your town. One of my favorite all time. That, I don't know about you. But if you go to a Christmas party and you're supposed to be jumping, if that ain't playing, it ain't jumping. At least once or twice, you know? Yeah. But getting back to what we were talking about, and only have 45 minutes left, and then you can join this conversation at 215-490-9832. That even though I understand the memories and how people feel about Christmas and how they romanticize about family and traditions and this time of year, no matter where you are, not necessarily in this country, even on the earth, because, you know, but the fact is that looking at Christmas on a, from that spiritual side is not the real deal of Christmas. Because the real deal of Christmas is commercialism. And if Christmas had not happened, capitalism would have to create something on that same line. Because Christmas is used as a way for business to have some profitability going into the next year. Some businesses go back and forth, but it is Christmas that will put them in the black. That's why that Black Christmas came about. And of course, you and I both know, and I've spoken on this a number of times, you know, this society does not use the word black. The idea of Black Friday did not happen long ago. That is recent. And not just in Philadelphia, where it initially happened because of the day after Christmas and the traffic jams and so forth. I understand that. They didn't use the word black until the 80s, Black Friday. And the whole idea is to begin the shopping season. So businesses would not be in the red, they would be in the black, whatever that fiscal year was. Usually a lot of them end at this time of year, you know, because that's what it's about, the season of gift getting and gift giving. And I know for the religious people, they'll constantly say, no, the real reason for this season is Jesus. Well, you know, that's cool. That's cool if that's what you want to believe. That's cool if you celebrate it. If you don't, that's what you want to believe. I know that when Kwanzaa was created, I remember reading literature saying that this holiday was created because it's, you know, Christmas does cause an undue hardship on our people, because you're trying to give children a Christmas and you forego a number of things trying to give them a Christmas, the latest of everything. And so Kwanzaa, and it's, you know, the 7 days perfect to focus in on these principles and the culture of our people, to wear African clothing. You know, I remember when at the naming ceremony at our festival, African World Festival, when I was given the name that I have by one of the Yoruba sisters in the community, you know, and I would use it, you know, during Kwanzaa, I'd put a proudly put a name tag on Oshi, Oshi Yemi, Adelabu, you know. But then I realized to truly be self-determining, and that's what Kujichagulia is, to name for yourself. And so I take these principles seriously. I take Kwanzaa seriously. And so I made the determination to change my name. Do I advocate name changes? No, I don't. I don't advocate name changes for our people. There have been some individuals who have been given from birth or through other means beautiful names, meaningful names, African names, let alone Islamic names or even Christian names, whatever, but yet do heinous and evil things. So it's not in the name. It's in the mind. Because once your mind is right, everything else falls into place. You, once your mind is right, you know what you should do and how you should do it, and you do it. Once your mind is right, we are at war for the minds of our people. And this war has been constant, and we've been in it for a long time, and yet it seems that the majority of our people don't comprehend. Many of our people who voted Joe Biden in, and we see the delusions of Trump, Trump is so whack. You know, he believes he won the election because he got more votes this time than he even had last time. So obviously I had to win. He's discounting the millions of people who voted more this time than ever, because they wanted to get his ass out. He's so damn delusional. When the stock market hit, what is that, 3,000 or 35,000, whatever the hell it hit, it was some big benchmark. So he goes on television and says, this, you know, in a very short press conference, very short, just to announce that the stock market hit that. He should have just shut the hell up, because he made it appear and seem that it happened because of him. Yeah, it did happen because of you, because you lost, fool. Because you lost. Those who were invested realized your ass lost, and now we happy because now there's something else coming up. No, not because of you personally. No, because of you losing the election. He made it seem like it's because of that's how messed up that man is. And unfortunately, we are following in this madness. That's why I'm saying that, yes, brothers and sisters, you can celebrate Christmas, and the next day you can celebrate Kwanzaa. Many, many of our people do. And many of our people dress up in African clothes who don't dress up in African, and that's good too. Many of our people will go, well, not too much now. Maybe now they'll go on their computers or go on their tablets or go on their phones and hit a Zoom Christmas celebration. Hear the music, hear the drumming, hear the presentations, enjoying them, and they should. It's just that me, Brother Oshie, believes that the most important celebration is Kwanzaa along with African Liberation Day. I'm not supporting making Juneteenth day or not. I don't, you know what? I don't give a damn what holidays they make here in this country. I really don't. I'm not a proponent of it. I'm not. Because there's one celebration that we all should participate in, and that is African Liberation Day, May 25th. All of us. That should be a celebration that all of us promote. African Liberation Day. Not just on the country. When we talk about African, we're talking about Africans in the diaspora everywhere. It is our liberation. We should celebrate Kwanzaa, because Kwanzaa gives us the information, gives us the principles by which to live our everyday lives. Imagine if we promoted unity. Seriously, imagine if we understood to be self-determining. Imagine if it understood that we will work collectively with one another. We won't diss one another. We won't connive one another, play one another, rob one another, cheat one another. We'll work collectively. Imagine if we spent our money together and say, yes, I'm going to support you. I'm going to support your business. I'm going to promote it. I do these announcements every morning. I don't get a dime from them. I'm not asking. I know my good brother Quaker said, man, we could do a number of things with, you know, with talking about businesses and promoting them. It's not to me as being a commercial radio program that we have. It is more so is the necessary, needed information to help liberate the minds of our people. That I try to bring every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And the things that I promote are something that if you get into will help in that movement. Our purpose, Nia, our purpose is to help one another, to love one another, to trust one another. Our purpose. To be an example to our children and to raise our children to be like-minded. Don't let them fall victim to this madness. You see how these kids are. It's sad. And you know it. There is no love for one another. They'll kill you at the drop of a hat. Hell, they'll kill you for a hat. Purpose. Creativity. Not just the creativity that we have as basketball players and entertainers and football players, singers and dancers, but the creativity that created some of the greatest civilizations this planet has ever had. Civilizations that people came from far and wide to sit at our feet, to sit at Africans' feet. Creativity. And faith. A faith not just in an entity higher than ourselves, but a faith in ourselves, in each other. A belief that no matter what roadblock, detours, or pitfalls comes into our path, we'll overcome them because we have faith. We have faith. These things belong in our everyday lives. I just mentioned the number 13. The number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. How we could put that into our everyday lives. But we also, you know, live by ma'at of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, harmony, and balance. Ma'at. That's what governed the people of ancient Kemet and ancient Sai was ma'at, the wing god, a female god. We have all the examples that we need. We have everything that we need. The only thing that we don't have is our right minds. Now, you know, I'm a staunch believer in reparations, and I look for us to deal with reparations, you know, and but reparations comes to those who are strong. If you look at those who receive reparations, particularly from Europe, particularly from the United States, they didn't get them when they were, you know, just like Japan because of what happened to the Japanese. Japanese Americans got reparations. The island nation of Japan received reparations through rebuilding. If you look at, even though they dropped a bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, look at those cities today. Look at Detroit. Look at Baltimore. Look at those cities. And look at modern Japan. There's so much to talk about, brothers and sisters, as always, and not always. When you start to talking, then the time elapses. So, brothers and sisters, I appreciate this opportunity. Always. I never take it for granted. And I always want to come to you with honor and respect. So I end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day, a blessed weekend. Enjoy the Kwanzaa celebrations virtually or whatever you do. Enjoy your family. Be safe. Be safe. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahodie. Bibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Enjoy the holiday season. Enjoy your family. Enjoy what's happening. Peace, family.